When we say free the CSU, we mean free it from all the different struggles that students are facing. And so that ranges from massive tuition hikes over the past decade to attacks on undocumented students coming from the federal level and fighting issues of homelessness, right? 1 in 10 students in the CSU are homeless, 1 in 5 are hungry. And so really just thinking broadly about all these issues and working to address them fully and their root causes, not just kind of Band-Aid fixes. We want a free CSU in all the ways that we mean it.
Are all the schools going to be in attendance at this protest? Are you calling it a protest?
Yes, it is definitely a protest. And we will have thousands of students, faculty, staff out from all 23 campuses in the CSU. And it should be a good time. Yeah, we're going to raise our collective voice as a system.
And how many are going from Cal Poly?
We have about 20 signed up to go. Unfortunately, the action was scheduled during our first week of classes, actually on the first day of classes. So I'm actually surprised we have so many students going. But we do have like a small little bus going from our campus. Yep.
And is it just students or is faculty involved in this as well?
Faculty and community college students actually are involved in addition to it.
Well, let's jump into some of the issues that y'all want to free the CSU from. So I was looking at the website, and apparently, you know, the CSU system has increased into 72% people of color over time. But the amount per student being spent by the state is going down. Can you kind of elaborate on that? Anyone?
Yeah, basically, we are of the opinion that funding the CSU is a racial justice issue. When you look at the CSU in the 60s and 70s, even into the 80s, the institution was a predominantly white institution. Most students were white. And of course, as we saw that change over the past 40, 50 years, funding has drastically gone down. And so we are thinking about this as an institutional racism problem. We are, you know, talking and organizing out there on our campuses about why we think the CSU needs more funding. One of the biggest things we're talking about is the fact that in the 60s and 70s, white kids had free higher education, right? And now that that's changed, that the institutions have changed, the reality and the cost of education have grown so much, at least in the CSU. And you can learn more a lot about the specifics of this issue in the California Faculty Association's recent report published last year called Equity Interrupted.
Okay, and what are some of the budget issues facing the CSU?
So currently the CSU is asking for almost $400 million to meet their current budget, or else they will be proposing fee increases for student tuition increases for students. And that is actually a very small amount in comparison to what California calls a rainy day fund. And that is a fund of money that California is accumulating to set aside for a rainy day, which is a sort of ambiguous term to mean like a sort of future event that they deem like a crisis, worthy of being called a crisis. But we are here to say that right now the CSU is facing a crisis, and funds from this rainy day fund should be allocated to meet the small demands of almost less than $400 million. Because this rainy day fund is $7 billion, and it's not being put to use right now. And we are here to say that it should be, because it's raining on the CSU.
Okay. I see. So tell me about what can be expected at this protest.
You're going to see, of course, students from all different 23 campuses, and you're also going to see, I think, for one of the first times ever in at least CSU history, is administrators standing on the front lines with students fighting for state funding. So one of the biggest things that we've been focused on with this event is how in the past, when we take our grievances about tuition increases and the cost of attendance to the Board of Trustees at the CSU, which is ultimately responsible for deciding these things about tuition and how much it's going to be, they've told us that the problem lies with the state and that we can't be coming to them complaining about these tuition hikes. We need to take our fight to the state. And so every year we do that. We do lobby the state. That's kind of like a false. It's to get out of the responsibility of actually increasing tuition. But anyways, this year we really put the call out to the Board of Trustees and the Chancellor's Office and also our campus presidents to put their money and resources where their mouths are. And that means showing up with their students, with their faculty to fight in protest, because we are in a crisis, as Kelsey was talking about. 1 in 5 students are hungry, 1 in 10 are homeless. Undocumented students are struggling to afford the fees for DACA. Like, so many students are struggling right now. And so that's why I think we're seeing our administrators are going to be joining us. And so in addition to that, it's going to be a really positive vibe. We're going to be doing some teach-ins. We're going to have workshops for folks to learn about the different issues facing the CSU, like institutional racism and like attacks on undocumented students from the Trump administration. And you'll see like food trucks and legislators coming to speak. And then it will be a traditional protest.
Dominic, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I would say this is a whole event to call Governor Brown to action. He is directly involved in the CSU forcing students to pay more each year. And tuition increases are violent against students. They're violent against students of color and marginalized communities. And we're done. We're calling him out, and he needs to oblige to what we're calling him to do.
Now, when you say that they're violent against students, are these, like, how much is, say, tuition at Cal Poly right now?
Tuition at Cal Poly for in-state students is, I believe, just over $9,000, not including fees such as housing and food and textbooks that elevate that to around $23,000 per year. And then out-of-state students pay even more.
And then in addition to that, right, tuition has increased on our campus more than 400% since 2000. And fees, right, because tuition and fees are actually different in the California State University system. They're separated out into two different categories. Fees have risen since 2010 alone by 186%. So when we're like saying like Governor Brown, meet the needs of the CSU so it doesn't have to raise tuition again, it's not a radical notion to think about. The fees we're facing right now are unprecedented. No other generation has worked more hours than the students that are working in the CSU right now. 3 out of 4 students have part-time jobs, and I think over 50% work more than 20 hours a week. This generation of students is facing almost an insurmountable amount of like barriers, and we're struggling, and we're asking for Governor Brown to put to actually uphold the progressive values of the state and fund higher education.
Do you expect change to come from this?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think we're in a really interesting moment right now. I think it's like a 3-year window right now, maybe, where in California, higher education is this really popular issue where our legislature is actually talking about it, right? So like last year in March, California Democrats introduced bills that were talking about making tuition free in California. And when you survey Californians, over 70% of them are in support of making higher education way more affordable, and if not free. We are in a moment where if we raise our collective voices and take action, we might get somewhere, especially when we have our administrators, community members, faculty, and worker allies on campus standing with us.
Y'all mentioned student homelessness earlier. Could we talk about that for a second and sort of elaborate on this? You said that 1 in 10 students is homeless. Is that at Cal Poly, or is that statewide? Is that nationally?
People may assume, especially Cal Poly students, possibly might assume that this is not an issue at Cal Poly, that homelessness is more prevalent at other CSUs, and that might be the case. But personally, I have met more than a few homeless students at Cal Poly.
And in addition to that, that number, 1 in 10, comes from a CSU commissioned report. I think it came out last year in 2016, that found system-wide 1 in 10 and 1 in 5. And actually, when you look at Cal Poly specific numbers at reports commissioned, I think also in the last year by Cal Poly, our numbers are higher. We are about 1 in 4 are hungry. And it's 1 in 10 to 1 in 12, I believe, are homeless. The numbers vary. But the issue is extremely prevalent on our campus, particularly because we are the most expensive CSU campus in the entire system by far. And we live in a town with little to zero resources for low-income people, students of color in particular.
SLO is currently facing a housing crisis in the sense that rent is skyrocketing and students are forced to pay absurd rent prices.
How would you see the governor help fix this problem?
So first of all, tuition hikes need to be stopped, right? So like first and foremost, the largest chunk of change that's coming out of people's pockets is tuition payments and associated costs of living. And we really do think that those need to be thought about in the same way, because you need to be able to live to be a student, right? So we call on Governor Brown to start by fully funding what the CSU is asking for to stop this year's tuition increase, and then work with us on our broader issues and with the California Faculty Association, with all these other groups right now in California that have legislation out, that have huge community bases with support on this legislation that would transition California towards free higher education. That is our Students for Quality Education's goal for sure. We are fighting for a free CSU, a CSU where students are able to get the same education that many of their parents got in the 70s and 80s and 60s.
I want to go ahead and just pivot for a second and talk a little bit about activism in general. In the interest of full disclosure, I met you guys because we all get together and watch Drag Race once a week. And I've noticed in that time that y'all are very active about many different things in here in San Luis Obispo County. Can you talk to me about your interest in being an activist here in SLO County and in the university and where that comes from?
I was actually really inspired by these two that are sitting right next to me when I came in as a freshman. As a year younger than both of them, they kind of prevailed as activist leaders and really kind of awoke the radical notions behind a queer identity for me. I came in, I would say, very liberal, thinking that after like Obergefell v. Hodges and same-sex marriage that we had achieved equality, but equality isn't enough. Equity is what we need to achieve in full liberation for marginalized identities. And we currently exist in San Luis Obispo, a predominantly white town that relies on a police presence to uphold its quote-unquote liberal stature, with a mayor that continues to rely on a police presence. And we're working within this town and within Cal Poly, another predominantly white institution, to create change.
Okay. I was reading a recent NPR article that was basically interviewing two activists from the 60s who were very involved in anti-Vietnam protests and the Black Panther movement, and their advice for the younger generation of activists right now is to remember that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I wondered what your thought about that was, that as everyone is demanding change right now, everyone's protesting, what are sort of the next steps after this, and how do people not get discouraged?
Well, social movements themselves rely on organization and they rely on continuity. So what we see a lot of times now is these big protests that are kind of a spark that then fade out. What we're hoping doesn't happen for things like March for Our Lives and such is that they just die out after this one big event. There needs to be, of course, taking care of yourself in these emotionally draining times, but using all of this violence and hatred to keep moving forward, to keep having that drive to like start social media campaigns or keep building marches and build that movement, because these are all people who have typically not had access to governmental institutions that are now working to create change.
Absolutely. And I'll just wrap up here with, also I was reading a recent article with WBUR that was saying that activists in their teens, this can actually be good for them. And some of the reasons they listed were identity, group inclusion, intellectual growth. Is there anything that y'all would want to add on to that?
I have a lot to say about that, actually. I would say that activism is definitely a tool that youth can use to grow into their own identities and integrate themselves into communities when they're coming of age. I know that's what happened for me. And there is like a certain, like, no matter how small, social motive in like involving yourselves in like this kind of work and supporting each other in a community as you're doing work together. And I think it can be really rewarding and definitely beneficial for your health.
I need to mention that April 4th is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And so a big part of our action is going to be drawing the connections to his I Have a Dream speech and actually calling on the state to fund the dream. So I probably should have mentioned this at the beginning, but the protest is actually called hashtag free the CSU, hashtag fund the dream. And so what that's referring to is on this day we are recognizing as one of our most important and prominent struggles, the fight for racial justice.